they won't break your bones. Then again, they might, actually. Hey-ho. Arlissa and Sticks and Stones. Gabriella Peralta. It's a little over 5 to 6. In fact, it's 4 minutes to 6. What button should we be pressing now? It's a special button.
Michelle Monroe button.
Exactly.
Written by Henry Mancini, with lyrics by Johnny Mercer, the song is composed of only 2 sentences, one for each stanza. Their work was deservedly recognised and they won an Academy Award for Best Original Song in 1962. The best-known recording of the song was by Andy Williams in 1963, but several other recording artists have also covered it, including Perry Como, composer Henry Mancini, Wes Montgomery and Lenny Brew. Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass recorded their version on their Pablo Records album Easy Living, which has become a jazz standard. Andy Williams' version was recorded for Columbia Records. The song reached number 9 on the Adult Contemporary chart and 26 on the Billboard Hot 100, and was the featured track of an album by Williams of the same name, which peaked at number 1 on the Billboard 200 album chart. Perry Como's version was recorded for RCA Victor Records as a track on the album The Songs I Love. Mancini's version was also recorded for the same label, reaching number 33 in the pop chart and number 10 in the easy listening chart. It was also listed by Chartmasters as one of the top 100 songs of 1963. Dad's version came in 1968 when he went into Olympic Studios to lay down the track for his new album, The Late Late Show. All the tracks had been selected and chosen by competition winners. Cadbury's had run the contest to promote their late, late night drink, Cadbury's Drinking Chocolate. Gosh, those were the days of wine and roses.
Wine and roses, laugh and run away, just like a child at play. The lonely night discloses just a passing breeze, filled with memories of the golden smile that introduced me to the days of wine and roses. And
a splendid Michelle Monroe selection from her father's back catalogue, of course, in a couple of weeks' time. That's Matt Monroe, of course, Days of Wine and Roses, Effortless Style, Panache, Wit, Joie de Vivre, all adjectives you can actually use to describe the ace actress and indeed a fantastic nutrition expert and indeed one of the fine folk behind Femme Women Healing the World. That would be the fabulous Celeste Yarno. How are you, Celeste?
Fine, Alex. How are you?
Do you know, it's been too long since we last spoke. It's been ridiculous.
It has indeed.
Yeah, I mean,
know.
And we had to put that right straight away and address those things. And Bizarrely, I was prompted into action by catching up with an episode of that TV series starring Robert Vaughan and David McCallum, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., UNCLE, of course, and The Monks of St. Thomas Affair, when all of a sudden you go into a French mode and start talking as a French person, and it is with an accent, and thankfully you start talking about marrying somebody who's in cheese, called Adolf, and, well, and your brunette as well. Unbelievable! But there we are.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I think we kind of got that sense about one of our team in the studio today, James Kaysen, as part of his American Studies program. I insisted he actually watch the Monks of St. Thomas Affair, and you've caught part of it. James, your thoughts on Celeste's character of André Boucher?
Well, unfortunately, it was cut short, so I didn't actually get to watch all of it. Thank you, Alex.
You got up to the moment where she actually put the monk's habit on. You know, that's a step.
But
it
wasn't white. It was brown.
It was cappuccino.
Exactly. It's quality stuff. Yeah, I mean, the thing I liked about it, and we'll move on to obviously Femme Women Healing the World in a few seconds, but I did like, I mean, of the sort of some of the TV roles, because even in terms of Yeoman Martha in Star Trek and the Apple, and obviously the role in Land of the Giants and so on, I thought actually your role in U.N.C.L.E., it sort of had a bit more oomph about it, really. I mean, you seem to be a bit more take charge, it's fair to say, really. I mean, ultimately, you were going to seek the advice of the head of the monastery, your U.N.C.L.E., to actually see whether or not you should actually marry this person who does not even think the Beatles are actually insects or their band is not with it.
The Beatles. I call them the Beatles. There's a funny story about the audition process for that role in The Monks of St. Thomas Affair. And I had just signed with a new agent who was a very intellectual gentleman. I've forgotten his name today, but he was brilliant, as a matter of fact. And, you know, he kind of challenged me. He said, "Well, you say that you're good with accents. You know, just how good is your French accent?" And I said, "Well, I think it's pretty darn good." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, this audition is only for French actresses.
Nice.
Go and see how you do."
Yeah.
So as soon as I arrived for the audition, my name is Celeste Yarnel, and I'm in Los Angeles from Paris, and I want to learn English and practice my English while I'm here. And so one of them starts speaking French to me, and I went, no, I'm here to practice English. If I want to speak French, I stay in Paris. And with all the French actresses like Claudine Longet and all these people on the, I got the part. So I kept that up for about the first 3 days of the shoot, when the craft services guy walked by with this incredible tray of donuts. And I go, "Oh, I'll take one of those." And the big producer heard my American accent, and he came over and he said, "Why, Celeste, that didn't sound very French." And I said, "This just shows you just how good an actress
exactly.
I am."
Exactly. In fact, Celeste, I'm already thinking, if only Kate Blanchett had actually sought your advice as a French accent coach for her role in The Monuments Men, the critics would have been kinder, I'm sure. You know, that's what we needed.
Well, I haven't seen that, but it certainly has prepared me for working with our French director, Emmanuel Etier, in Femme.
You see, the genius connection there. People were thinking, how can they connect The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with Femme Woman Healing the World?
Exactly. Along with my French grandfather, who spoke French to me when I was a little girl.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's move on momentarily, as I say, to this thing, which is really getting more and more prominence, and quite rightly so. I mean, there's a wonderful link there with the Emergent Feminine Panel, the Conscious Life Expo 2014, in which talk about, it's quite a controversial panel, effectively. We see the exploration as to why, as far back as 3000 BC, a male-dominated society has controlled and dominated women with doctrines of all sorts of unroutines. We are changing, hopefully, at this particular time. Are we seeing a new consciousness emerging, Celeste, in terms of how things are going?
And that paradigm was presented to me by a dear friend who lives in the UK, whose work I admire enormously. Her name is Julia Stonehouse. Mm. And Julia is the author of both Idols to Incubators, and her latest rendition of that book is called Father's Seed, Mother's Sorrow, and that's available as an e-book on Amazon. And Julia is my mentor on this subject matter. In fact, my writing partner, Dr. Jean Hovey, and I are writing the Femme companion book to go with the film, and really filling in the blanks. We open so many interesting controversial issues on how women can heal the world, not as a matriarchy, but as a partnership. Men haven't been able to heal the patriarchy. It's going to take men and women together to heal the patriarchy, because men have been oppressed as much as women and held back with a patriarchal, macho, you know, only the survival of the fittest. It doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't work. It's ravaged the planet. So it's going to take a partnership to reunite that yin-yang principle. And Julia's work is paramount. So I produced that panel for the Conscious Life Expo. Femme Femme was entered and won the Conscious Life Evolution Film Award. I also spoke on Consciously Creating a New Life, which dovetails to the Emergent or Divine Feminine panel. And it goes back to reproduction theory. And reproduction theory answers a question that we all raise when we're children, and that is, where do babies come from? So for basically the first thousands and thousands of years up to 3000 BC, the benchmark is really 10,000 BC, where we move from Paleolithic to Neolithic. And that's when originally we thought the seed of life was in the female. There was no issue about where babies came from. Certainly before 10,000 BC, the seed of life was in the woman. From 10,000 BC to 3,000 BC, men got the idea they watered that seed. But from 3,000 BC, men got the idea, no ram, no lamb, that they contained the seed of life, and that women were the fertile terrain that their seed was planted in. Now, that notion, that improper science, if you will, lasted until 1900 AD, when some very brave embryologists actually showed that it's two seeds, one in the woman and one in the man. But I call what's happening today an epigenetic hangover. And because women were oppressed for all those years, 5,000 years basically, with this big man philosophy, the Indo-European philosophy, women were oppressed because naturally men had to know where the babies, who the baby's father was. And in order to know that, that was a problem the women didn't have, but to know, to have that information for sure, you had to control your woman. So you had to keep her in the kitchen, you had to strip
barefoot
her.
Barefoot and pregnant, let's be honest, you know, barefoot
exactly,
and pregnant.
Exactly. Under the line. You know, in the UK alone, about inheritance rights, we're all watching Downton Abbey. So, you know, women couldn't inherit, women couldn't divorce, women couldn't get a paycheck, women couldn't vote. Other parts of the world, they're veiled, covered up, circumcised, baby girls aborted. We're still suffering from this epigenetic hangover. But it's all based on improper science. So my philosophy is, it's time to forgive, forget, maybe not forget, but move on to the new paradigm of equal partnership. And by equal, I don't mean that women need necessarily perform like men. Women need to be strongly feminine, not feminist, and men need to be strongly masculine, not dominant, but protective. So we can really make a true marriage between the sexes, and we can also include all the genders.
It's a yin and yang blending, which we'll work through. And a very interesting point, fact that I came across recently, is when the British Army finally withdraws from Afghanistan, assuming all things go well, that'll be the first time that Britain hasn't had an army involved in a conflict, an armed conflict, since the 1700s.
That's amazing. Why don't we take all of this industrial military complex machinery and turn it into a peace complex? Instead of a military complex where might makes right, why don't we turn it into how to make the peace a peaceful, force of how to nurture and nourish. And I mean, that's, you know, that almost sounds naive to say that, but it has to start somewhere. It has to start with other alternatives to constantly using might and force. It has to come down to negotiation, compromise, people being face to face and realizing what we have in common rather than what our differences are. If we can at first agree that we are one species that can mate with each other, this is our commonality. Wherever we live, whatever our race, religion, color, or creed is, we are one species that can intermate. And that's the root system that holds us all together all around this world. And if we one by one start ticking off where we agree, then the points of disagreement become less important.
I think it sets a whole range of things. Gabriella, as somebody who obviously peace studies and issues related to that, your thoughts on what we've just been listening to from Celeste?
Yeah, I do agree. I think, especially about the male-female relationships and stuff, I think we're getting kind of to the point where it is a bit more equal, I feel. I think opinions have changed in recent years.
Well, not true in the United States, because we don't have an Equal Rights Amendment for women. We have an Equal Rights Amendment for black men, hallelujah, but we do not have an Equal Rights Amendment for women. Mm. And that is just unconscionable that there are still, I believe, 4 states that never ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. So really, where does that leave us? That leaves us with, you know, maniacs who are trying to control women's reproduction and making outlandish statements in the Republican Party.
James, it's
unconscionable that we can be in the 21st century and have pockets all over this globe that are less human than they were in the so-called Dark Ages.
James, you were born in Texas. Why haven't we got that equal rights situation in America? You're an American
studies
student.
I'll find out. But I've got a question, if that's all right.
Go.
I found it interesting that you said that men have also been hurt by this patriarchy. And I'm doing a study on 1980s masculinity in film culture. And I was wondering if the sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger image of, like, the tough male, you know, he's got to be physically dominated. Do you think that will ever truly go away? Or do you think that's just too ingrained in society now?
No, I think it has to go away because I really think that once Julia Stonehouse's work, frankly, I think she deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. I can't imagine why no one else has thought of this profound reproduction theory that she has brought to light over 20 years. And there she is right there in your country. And you should have her on the show and chat with her, because we're very dear friends and I'm championing her work and including it basically everywhere I go, because it resolves this big man issue. Mm. And if you look at its root, where it essentially came from, no ram, no lamb, based on false science, you know, to not have the knowledge that we have today, it seems so obvious. 23 chromosomes are donated from the male, and 23 chromosomes are donated from the female.
Yeah.
And that makes life. And there's so much happening in reproduction that is discovered every day. When we realize that this is an equal partnership and that it is not man's role to dominate or men's role to dominate women, it is their role to protect their women. Do they need to be Arnold Schwarzenegger's size to, you know, to do that? No, they don't. They can nurture their feminine and their nurturing and nourishing, caring, compassionate, sharing nature. And I have to put the blame on the mothers, because all of this information that men and women are born with is being downloaded into fetal tissue from nearly the time of conception. So women must take responsibility for the shape that this planet is in as well, because what is growing inside her womb is where it starts. I happen to be the ambassador to the Global Prenatal Initiative. Our beautiful Julie Ryan Gerland, who lives in the south of France, is working with the United Nations and also with the UK, the first 1,000 days that the UK has so bravely put forth in our mission of 9 months to heal the world. Did you know that a baby's personality is 50% formed, as are its belief systems, prior to its birth? So that at birth, you have this little half-potentialized human being? Because we're dealing with the subconscious mind before birth. We don't have a conscious mind to reason. We don't really develop our conscious mind till, between 6 and 12 years old. We start feeling a consciousness of I am and you are you. But all of this information is being downloaded, certainly by the father if he's around as well, and the ambient environment. The health of the male sperm, the health of the female, is tantamount to a healthy child. And if you stress that mother before birth, what happens is the hind brain, the reactive hind brain, develops more than the frontal brain, which is more the conscious reasoning brain. So if we were to share this information, which we're trying to do with the Global Prenatal Initiative, if we share this information that every mother and father is creating the next generation right there before birth, before conception, before birth, it'll take 2 generations to heal this entire planet.
We are co-creators in the universe. Celeste,
that is correct.
Interesting in terms of the masculinity side of things. Of course, Robert Vaughan wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger's side of things, but he may go well. He's actually on the London stage as we speak, actually, in the Tennessee Williams Sweet Bird of Youth production. So he's over here. We must try and get you connected again, actually, because Robert's an interesting perspective.
I saw him at an autograph show in Chicago about 10 years ago. And he looked wonderful, and we had a lovely little moment of reunion, and I would indeed enjoy that very much. I'd like to be on the London stage with him.
I think we'll start that campaign now. I'm already looking.
More importantly, let's heal the world by sharing FEMME, which you can do by going to our moxart.com website, where we have the film embedded. And let's start by having everyone read Julia Stonehouse's Father's Seed, Mother's Sorrow book. And let's get on the page of the Global Prenatal Initiative and empower women to stand in their square, whether they are joining their genes with another human being or they are joining their genius. And I think that's how we can all be partners in the co-creation of a new humanity.
Are you up for that, Gabriella?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
That's not James.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that, yes, we will guarantee, Celeste, all being well, we connect things together, we will feature Julia Stonehouse on the show. Is this the end of the patriarchy? Which is an interesting line from that. So we will follow that through. But for the moment, Celeste, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Oh, it's always wonderful to chat with you all. It's just fantastic. And we're still here sharing our wonderful Omega-3 Moxor and our brilliant BAMER device.
Exactly. We will get there. Exactly. Moxart.com, precisely. We'll feature it as well. So I take it you'll be happy to join us again in the very near future.
Always.
Hey, fantastic. Actually, I'll give you a choice. We can go to take us around to Jean Bruce Scott. She'll be talking about her on the road excitements with Native Voices at the Autry that she's putting together. She's currently working on the world premiere production of Standoff at HWY number 37 by Vicky Ramirez. You can have either the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band with Give Peace a Chance or the theme from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Where do you want to go, Celeste?
The theme from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yay!